The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
Let's open to Psalm 13. Would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Psalm 13, to the choir master, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is the reading of God's word. Please have a seat. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this psalm. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to bring our burdens to you now. We pray you would help us in the midst of our broken relationships. We pray you'd help us in the midst of our strained families. We pray you'd help us when night after night, day after day, we have felt afflicted and far from you. Lord, we pray you would minister to us with a sweet relief that only comes in faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our psalm today, it's a psalm of lament, which means it's a song of mourning. It's a song of sorrow. You know, God is under no impression that believers will be happy all the time. I don't know where we got that idea. I think sometimes we've put that pressure upon ourselves to say, if I'm living right, if I'm believing right, I will be happy right now. Though the world is falling apart around me, I will be happy right now. Smile, smile. But God's not under any impression that you need to smile all the time. And in a world broken by sin, how could we be happy all the time? How could we be? In a psalm like this, in a lament like this, God is giving us words to cry out with. Because this lament, it's not just someone else's situation, is it? Yeah, David wrote it. David wrote it in his own circumstances. But have you noticed how often the psalms and these laments, how they're purposefully written in a generic fashion? So what I mean by that is David will say things like, keep me from my enemy or from my foes. Well, his enemies had names, didn't they? His foes were specific people, weren't they? There was a specific situation that would bring David to his knees like this, but he doesn't include, hey, Lord, preserve me from Frank. He's really being terrible to me. He doesn't say, preserve me from Sarah. She's really being terrible to me. Preserve me from my foes, from my enemies. There is this purposeful design to make these things generic, to make these things apply to not simply David, but to all of us. These laments, they speak of common emotions, not just specific situations. Because maybe you can't relate to being a king, but you can relate to fear. You can relate to sorrow. you can relate to loneliness. God also gives us laments because they show us how to mourn and they show us how to be sorrowful, but to do so in faith. Mourning and sorrow, they are times that are so precarious for our faith because so easily in those times we slip into unbelief, don't we? When the strain is so great, when our desire for release is so great, we feel that burden and we can easily go the path of bitterness, easily go the path of murmuring against the Lord. And God in this lament, he wants you to see that you can trust him and mourn. They are not mutually exclusive. They go together. God gave us this psalm to equip us for sorrow. God gave us this psalm to equip our prayers and our faith for the sorrows that are inevitable in this world. Believer, he gave you this psalm to equip you for your sorrows, to equip you for your mourning. There's just no way in a room this big that we don't have people who are in sorrow for one reason or another. There's no way in a room this big that we don't have people who are feeling afflicted. And so my encouragement to you is that if you are mourning right now, if your heart is downcast right now, if it is broken right now, my encouragement is that you would make this psalm your own. This is not simply David's psalm. This is your psalm. This is not just David's lament. It is your lament. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, David penned the grief of so many of our hearts and so many of our lives. And so this lament begins with faith's complaint. Verses 1 and 2, you could summarize the whole thing with simply this: how long? How long? If you read those first two verses, you can't help but notice that refrain: how long, O Lord? How long? How long? How long? Four times David cries out, and the first one is not even a coherent sentence. Have you ever begun a prayer where you can't even finish the sentence? That's what he does here. How long, O Lord? Because he knows. Because God knows. He doesn't even have to finish the sentence, and maybe in his grief, he can't even finish the sentence at first. It's this incomplete emotional outburst that, oh, we all know the feeling of. How long, O Lord? And for every how long, you realize David's been in this for a while. You get the feel that David has been afflicted for quite some time. His sorrows have gone on long enough for him to feel outright forgotten by God. David, the man after God's own heart, felt abandoned. Just process that. This tells us something about the life of faith. I mean, picture David. What's the first memory we have of David? It's standing in front of Goliath. And David stepped up so alone on that battlefield because the army of Israel was just hiding in their cowardice. David said, I will step up. And he didn't feel alone then, did he? He stepped up in this incredible confidence and in this incredible faith. And though he was alone, he was not alone, if you know what I mean. And that champion of faith who would stand in the most precarious of circumstances, here he is, and he's saying, I feel forgotten. This trial's gone on so long, I feel forgotten, God. How long will you forget me? And so, child of God, it should come as no surprise. If this is the life of David, is it any surprise that we go through similar highs and similar lows? Because you've had a glorious triumph actually doesn't mean anything for the next time. And the next time might be a humiliating defeat, a terrible sorrow. The famous blessing of Aaron from Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. That is like the picture of blessing, that the Lord's face would shine upon you. And here, David doesn't feel God's face shining. David feels like God's face is turned away from him. David feels far from his God. And you see that in this feeling of abandonment, in this feeling that he's been forgotten, his heart and his brain are on different pages, aren't they? Because I am guessing that David's brain could pass a theology test in that moment. I bet he could say that God cannot, would not forget his people. But in his weariness and in his sorrow, his heart didn't have that conviction. His heart didn't have that confidence. No, whatever he knew, he felt forgotten. How long must I take counsel in my soul? And here he describes a situation where it's like he's tried everything. He's tried everything, and then he's tried the plan B's and the plan C's and the plan D's, and he's done everything he can, and he cannot fix this situation. And as a result, he feels that heavy, gray weight of sorrow draped around his neck from sunup to sundown. His best efforts have been frustrated. And what makes it even worse is that when he's low, his enemy also seems to be winning. His enemy is lifted up. That's the sorrow becomes near unbearable when his God seems far and his enemies seem very near. The short story is that David feels forgotten. David feels alone. David feels frustrated in his efforts, burdened with sorrow, and he's living the bitter reality that his enemies seem to be triumphing in the midst of it all. Child of God, do you relate? Now, faith's complaint leads to faith's prayer. That's verses 3 and 4. Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken. And the prayer is simple. I bet you've prayed this prayer. It's, God, look at me. God, consider what I am going through. Answer me. Bless me. Help me. I need you. My God, light up my eyes, which is just this way of saying, revive me. Revive me physically. Revive me emotionally. I need you. I need you to do this. Two reasons. Reason one, I need you because I will die without you. I will die without you. We see David's fear is at its fullest. The stakes are as high as they get. He looks to the heavens. He says, Lord, I will die without you. And the second reason is that the enemies of the faith will see it as a triumph over the faith if you don't help me. David is standing seemingly alone as the champion of the faith. He is the one clinging to righteousness. He is the one seeking to honor God. His enemies, they are not like him. They would love to rejoice over this man of God. They would love to stand in victory, not just over David, but over the God that David represents. And so David appeals to God. He appeals to God for the sake of his servant and for the sake of his name to intervene. He pleads with God to step in and make right what only he can make right. And please don't miss this. Do not miss this faith that is present in this prayer, because David doesn't just pray to complain. He doesn't want to vent at the heavens and call God out for letting him down or something like that. The point is not simply to grumble, and he is not one who is utterly hopeless. No, he knows where his hope is, and that's why his lament is to God. He knows the one who hears prayers. He knows the one who is mighty to intervene. And so his faith, even broken down and afflicted, still spurs him on to go to the God who can help, who can resolve all of this, who can intervene. No, David is not faithless in this prayer, even as he mourns. And so faith's complaint, it leads to faith's prayer, and faith's prayer leads to faith's hope. Verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. It's here that David's faith really sort of stands up and starts to direct his thinking. Because David can say, wait, there is more to this story. God, I have trusted in your steadfast love before. Steadfast love, it's that beautiful word in Hebrew that speaks of God's covenant love, that speaks of God's loyal love, that speaks of God's faithful love. David can say, I have known and banked on God's loyal love for years. I have known the security of that love. I have known the depth of that love. You know, just four psalms before this, in Psalm 9, David writes, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. This is the steadfast love that David knows. That is the steadfast love that God has proven time and time again. And as David calls to mind what he already knows and what he already understands and what he has already experienced, that is when David's perspective begins to really change. And David knows he is not forgotten. Because the God of faithful covenant love does not forget his people. David knows in that moment of faith, in that triumph of faith, David knows that his enemies won't rejoice in his defeat. No, David will do the rejoicing. David will rejoice because he knows his God will deliver him. And having that confidence in what lies ahead, it changes everything. His prayer is no longer a cry of despair. His prayer is an anticipation of joyful singing after the Lord has intervened. God had dealt bountifully with him in the past. David knows God will deal bountifully with him in the future. Our God is the God who turns sorrow to celebration. Our God is the God who turns despair into certain hope. Child of God, this is the same God you pray to. See, I have no doubt that at least some of you can very much see yourself in this psalm, because you can relate to the heartache. You can relate to the sorrow. You can relate to the frustration. You can relate to the fear. You know the ragged cry to the heavens saying, how long, O Lord? But child of God, do you also know the hope? Do you also have the same kind of hope that David talks about? Do you know the confident faith that David describes? Child of God, this faith, it's not the mark of the advanced Christian, of the super mature expert Christian. This is the faith that our Lord wants every one of his children to have. This faith is the balm for the heartbreaking wounds of this world. I know it's wild to consider. I want you to just indulge me, embrace this truth that the Lord offers you today a far greater consolation than David had. And do you know why? It's because in Christ, this hope blooms. In Christ, child of God, you know of greater steadfast love. David, he found this great comfort in considering the loyal love of the Lord that had been with him all his days. And so David could reflect on quite a bit of loyal love, couldn't he? He could reflect on the love that lifted a young shepherd all the way to the kingship. Child of God, you know what it is to be lifted out of death and rebellion and to be adopted into the royal family of the King of creation. David knew the love of a God who would intervene mightily to preserve David's life, whether it was Goliath or Saul, wild animals or fierce armies. Child of God, you know the love of a Savior who would intervene by coming down from heaven to die on a cross for you. David could reflect on these incredible demonstrations of love and find renewed confidence in what God intended for him. And so as you weather this world's trials, the Lord wants you to have the confidence of a blood-bought child of God. And he wants you to reflect on eternal life and eternal treasure. And he wants you to reflect on abundant salvation and lifelong loyal love. And he wants you to have the confidence of a God who is truly working all things together for good, for you. In Christ, child of God, you also have a greater confidence that the Lord hears your prayers. By the end of our psalm, David's faith had stepped forward and he was confident. And he was confident not just that he was heard, but that the Lord would help him. Child of God, you have this mind-blowing triune hope in your prayers. First off, you pray to your heavenly Father who loved you and has adopted you. And that alone, you've got confidence to spare. Earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their children. How much more so our Heavenly Father when we pray to him? And as you pray to your loving Heavenly Father, your Savior, the Son of God, sits at his right hand and intercedes for you as well. And as if that wasn't enough, as you pray, as you cry out in weakness, what's the Holy Spirit doing? For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Put that all together, child of God, each member of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is invested in your prayers. Soak that in. The Trinity is invested in your prayers. If David was confident of being heard, child of God, you should be far more confident. In Christ, the joy David looked forward to is a joy you see much more clearly. David looked ahead, and he looked ahead to God's faithful intervention. Oh, but little did he know how faithfully his God would intervene. How faithfully his God would respond. Because the people of God will not just be delivered from worldly enemies and trials. No, God will deliver them from all their striving. He will deliver them from all their brokenness. He will deliver them from all their sorrow. The joy we look forward to, it's not a one-time solution of a temporary problem. The joy we look forward to is an eternal remedy for all of our problems. He will conquer and destroy the sin that has destroyed so many of our relationships. He will end the mourning that has pervaded so many of our days. He will draw us near so that we can never again feel forgotten. One certain day, we won't just sing for earthly deliverance, but we know that the children of God will sing for all of eternity because of their eternal deliverance. The song that will fill our days and our hearts will be, Lord, you have dealt bountifully with me. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the certain hope of the gospel. We thank you that we can cast our burdens on you. We thank you that you listen to our prayers. We thank you that you love us. We pray that you administer your comfort to our hearts now. We pray that you would give us faith so that our faith would stand up like David's and we would see our trials and our sufferings in light of what you are doing, in light of your loyal love. Father, please minister especially to the brokenhearted today, to the downcast today, to the suffering today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.